Our message for this afternoon is a surprising secret about eternal life. A surprising secret about eternal life. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are your children. And at your invitation, we come now boldly but respectfully to the throne of grace. We ask you, Lord, earnestly and in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, please open our eyes. Remove the veil that covers them and let us get a deeper glimpse of what you would have us to know. Bathe us in the light of truth, we pray. Grant to me the right words. I want to say them, Father, in the right spirit that they may have the right effect. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A surprising secret about eternal life. How many of you here today, by raising your hand, will tell me you have eternal life? Raise your right hand. You have eternal life. Raise your hand. Let me see them. You have eternal life. All right. Hands down. Let me be fair. All those who do not know if they have eternal life or not, let me see your hands. You don't know. You're not sure. There's a timeout, sister. Oh, you're hoping to have eternal life, but you're not sure. Now, if you read the epistles of Paul, Paul was very eager that believers would know certain things. Wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Ephesians 1, reading from verse 15. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge in understanding Christ. Paul prays that God would give us wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being opened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Paul wants us to know. And this morning we talked about what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Paul, God wants us to know that we have eternal life. You have to know. And if you don't know, you don't have it. Because we only live by faith. Faith is the active acceptance of God's word. By the time we're done this today, I want everyone in this church to know that he or she has eternal life. Because that's what Christ came to bring. So we're talking about a surprising secret about eternal life. Now, for those of you who said you have eternal life, can someone with eternal life die? Can someone with eternal life die? Yes. Yes. And of course, Jesus Christ will raise that person up to live that life everlastingly. You see, there is something called the quality of life, and there's something called the quantity of life. Eternal life, I've heard it said, refers to the quality of the life. And so Jesus says, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. He said the kingdom of God is within you. And he said that to people who died. The kingdom of God, the life of God, the realities of the gospel, eternal life in the believer, but a believer dies. Paul had eternal life and he's dead. Noah had eternal life, he's dead. The father of the faithful, Abraham, had eternal life, and he is dead. When a person dies in Christ, that person dies with something that will hear the call of Christ when he comes back the second time, to raise him or her up, that that person may live and never die. Now, in John chapter 6, if you go there with me, we have recorded in that chapter the feeding of the 5,000. And that miracle goes from verse 1 to verse 14 of John chapter 6. We won't go through that miracle. We are all familiar. He fed 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, as is recorded in verse 9 of John 6. But in verse 25, we have the beginning of a
discussion between Jesus Christ and those who witnessed this miracle, who consumed the bread, and who followed him across the lake. You see, after Jesus performed the miracle, he left. He took a boat, went to the other side of the lake, and the people followed him. But I suppose people know a good thing when they see it. And they followed Jesus, but they were following him for the wrong reason. And so in verse 25 of John chapter 6, the Bible says, "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? When did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracle, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Now, Jesus Christ is differentiating between two types of meat. And the word meat there means bread or food. He tells them in verse 26 or verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Now, the verse is telling us that there is a meat, there is a bread that only benefits us temporarily. Then the verse also says there is another kind of bread that endures unto everlasting life. And that comes from the Son of God. He's the one who gives it. What is that meat and what is that bread which provides for us who consume it eternal life? Now, if you go stay in that chapter 6 of the book of John, let's go now to verse 48. Well, before we go to 48, you want to read what the Jews said to Jesus. Before we go to 48, let's look at verse 30 and verse 31 of John chapter 6. Now, the Jews said to him, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Jesus, what spectacular thing can you do so we can believe on you?" And verse 31, they said, "Our fathers, as it is written, our fathers did eat manna in the desert." They ate manna in the desert. "He gave them bread from heaven," they said. Then Jesus answered them, the next verse, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread." So there is bread. Then there is true bread. This morning, we read from John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine." God says, "Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread." And there's something that that true bread does. Now, he reminds them in verse 49, if you go to that verse. Verse 49 of John 6 says, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are what? And are dead." There are two ways to be dead. You can be dead outside of Christ. You can be dead in Christ. "Your fathers," verse 49 of John 6, "did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." Now, why were they dead? Why did their carcasses, as the Bible says, fall in the wilderness? Because they saw the manna only as physical food. And they did not see the higher significance of the manna, which represented, of course, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ says in verse 33 of John 6, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." This bread gives life. A surprising secret about eternal life. And many of us here today said, we have it. Jesus says in verse 48 of John 6, "I am that bread of life." Now, what do we do with bread? We eat bread. Jesus says, "I am that bread of life." Now, if you read verse 52 of John 6, the Jews had a difficult time. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" You see, Jews understood you're not supposed to drink blood. Because Jesus said that anyone who eats my flesh drinks my blood. you have everlasting life. And the Jews had a difficult time with that. And then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Verse 53 of John chapter 6. Except ye eat. I want you to see the connection between life and bread. Verse 40, it says, I am that what? Bread of life. There's a connection between bread and life. And therein lies this surprising secret to eternal life. Verse 49 says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Here we have a different kind of bread, but with that bread we have death. In verse 48, we have bread and life. In verse 49, we have bread and death. And in verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Again we have bread, eat it, live. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Live forever. And the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Let me say it again. There's a connection between bread and life. But here's the bread. Here's the life, and right between the two is eating. Let me take you back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam was made, he had all the trees from which to eat. He had the tree of life. We know from Ellen White's writings and from reasoning in Scripture, if he had remained faithful, he would have had the privilege of eating from the tree of life for how long? Forever. In the new world, will there be a tree of life? Yes. In the new world, can we die? No. We can't die. We are immortal. But does an immortal person still have to depend on God? Yes. Did you get that? A person who cannot die still has to depend on God for life. I hope you're getting this. Because immortality suggests, well, I cannot die. I am independent. My life is mine. No. Immortality is dependent upon God preserving that immortality. And how does he do that? We will constantly be doing what? Eating of the tree of life. Therein is our immortality perpetuated. Yes, we'll be immortal. But we're still dependent upon God because there is no such thing as life totally cut off and separate from God. Our immortality will be perpetuated by eating. And you understand eating, you just engaged. Adam's, had he passed that probationary period, and we know he failed, would have preserved eternal life by eating of the tree of life. That is why the Bible says in verse 22 of Genesis 3, behold, now the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Let's put him out. Because if he eats in his fallen condition, he will be a sinner forever. Here's the bread. Here's eating. Here's life. Do you see that formula? Bread, eat, life. You just can't go from bread to life. Is anyone confused? Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Raise your hand if you're confused. I will say it again. Anyone confused? Listen to me, the process. Bread. Life. What gets you to the life? Eating. Is that the way it works at a physical level? Yes. That is the way it works at the spiritual level. And so Jesus says in verse 53 and 54 of John 6, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life. Whoso eateth my flesh, verse 54, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life. And then he says, and I will do what? Raise him up, which means he's going to do what? Die. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have what? Eternal life, and I will raise him up. You can have eternal life and die. You cannot have eternal life and be lost. Are you following me? Please don't say you are if you're not. I will gladly repeat. Eternal life comes from eating the flesh of Christ and drinking his blood, and that is not a call for cannibalism. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life at the very time they're consuming the flesh of Christ and washing it down with his blood. At the very time, it becomes a present reality. For my meat, for my flesh is meat indeed, verse 55, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Now here's another clue. How do we reach this point of intimate relationship with Jesus Christ where he dwells in us and we dwell in him? Remember John 15 verse 7 we read this morning. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, I'm in him, he's in us. How does that happen? By eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And I will keep harping on that. Here's the flesh, here's the blood, or here's the bread, here's life, here's the eating. In other words, when you went downstairs, here was the macaroni and cheese, whatever you had. Here was your hunger here. How did you get rid of the hunger? The eating. So we had the macaroni and cheese, eating, full and satisfied, and about to sleep through Elder Skeet's afternoon message. You cannot eliminate the eating. Now, what is the secret? The surprising secret of eternal life. Eternal life is given to us and mediated through us and preserved in us. Listen to me carefully. Through the Word of God. Now, this morning, I appeal to you to find time to study God's Word. And many of you made a commitment. Now that you know that eternal life cannot be separated from eating God's Word and drinking His Word, which is what His flesh and blood refer to, eating the Word. How many of you still have eternal life? Now, don't raise your hands. We have a brave sister right here who raised it in opposition to the preacher's request. That hand's not be raised. She has eternal life. You see, there is no such thing as spiritual growth where there is no study of God's Word. There's no such thing as I have eternal life if I do not study God's Word. It came from the lips of Christ Himself. If you do not eat this flesh and drink this blood, you have no life in you. Spiritual life, eternal life. Yes, your life physically, by the mercies of the same Christ. But that life which qualifies us for heaven, which fits us for heaven, we do not have it if we have no relationship with the Word of God. Now, this was a lesson that Jesus Christ taught, and he failed to teach the Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you read from verse 2, the Bible says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to test thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no." Verse 3, Deuteronomy 8. "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Man doth not live by bread alone, meaning physical food. We must make the connection between physical eating, physical life, and spiritual eating, and spiritual life. "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life." John 6, verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life. What I'm saying with great respect, a man or a woman who does not study God's word cannot claim to have eternal life. Because God's word is life, and he explained that in John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What life? Spiritual life. The life of Christ. Eternal life. God mediates, provides, supplies eternal life through his life-giving word. You can be a Seventh-day Adventist. You can be in good and regular standing. You can earn the respect of the church, the conference, the union, the division, the general conference. You can win awards, plaques, letters of commendation from the president. If you do not eat God's word, you do not have eternal life. God sent manna 40 uninterrupted years, 6 days a week. It stopped when they crossed the Jordan. Every day, 6 days a week, on the seventh day, it was also a miracle because none fell on the seventh, twice as much fell on the sixth. For 40 straight years, Christ, by this miracle, sought to teach the Israelites, among other things, that their existence and their survival in the wilderness was based on his say-so. And they had to live by what he said. That is why in Hebrews 3 and 4, you will read that they could not enter into God's rest because of unbelief. Unbelief in what? Unbelief in God's word. The only way to express unbelief in God is to express unbelief in his word, because we know nothing about him outside of his word. Except ye eat the flesh. You see, when you are reading God's word seriously, without distraction, when you are studying God's word, when you are comparing scripture with scripture, here a little, there a little, there is a process that goes on in the mind, as we say, the heart. It was a constant transformation into the likeness and the similitude of Jesus Christ. You don't get more eternal life, you just become more like Jesus. Do you understand that? Let me say it again differently. The thief on the cross, was he saved when he acknowledged his sins and accepted Christ? Was he saved? Would you say he was as holy as Enoch? Absolutely not. But did he get the same eternal life? Yes. So you see, Enoch wasn't more saved than the thief on the cross. Enoch was more Christ-like. Do you get the difference? All saved people are equally saved, even though Ellen White said some will just barely get in. Once you get in, you're in. There are two kinds of salvation. I saved Enoch one way, I saved Noah one way, I saved the thief on the cross one way, and then I gave whatever's left to Elder Skeet. No, salvation is salvation. But Christ-likeness varies from person to person. Because the longer you walk with God, the more you look like God. And so when we engage in the study of God's word, as we're eating this word, we are preserving the eternal life, and we are submitting ourselves, exposing ourselves to a power that transforms the heart. What I'm saying, as I said this morning, God's word is calculated to transform your heart and mind. Change our thinking, alter our perspectives as it preserves. Because the word itself has life. Now, you've got to keep that life in the heart. How can you do that? What does the Bible say? Thy word hath I done what? Hid in my heart that I might not what? How do you do that? You put it in your head. Put God's word in your head. In your heart. Study it. Study it. Know it. So that you can respond to a question automatically. Know it as you know your social security number. Know it as you know your telephone. No thinking, it just comes out of you because that is what you do. The word makes you like Jesus. You become a spiritual being wrapped in physical flesh, but you're really spiritual, and the word does that. The word of God. So Jesus says, it is spirit and it is life. When he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, he was referring to his word. But you see, the Jews who were listening did not understand that. Some of his disciples, you read verse 66 of John 6, did not understand and they left him. The Bible says from that time, many of the disciples left him and walked no more with him. Now, we know Jesus had 12 disciples. We know them by name. Then he also called 70 whose names we don't know. So let's say 82 disciples. In John 6, when the disciples started to leave him because he told them, study his word, the exodus was so massive that Jesus almost, I say, in a state of, I don't know if divinity can panic. Divinity never panics, but Jesus was human. Let me put the word panic. Jesus said almost in a panic, wait a minute. All these disciples are leaving me. For the Bible says, he turned to the 12 and said what? Shall ye also go? Now, why just the 12? The others were gone. Why? Because Jesus said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. The others were gone. And the 12 remained, and Jesus said, shall ye also go? What did Peter say? Lord, what did he say? Where shall we go? Thou hast what? The words of life. Thou hast the what you are saying is life to us. You have the words of life. Now we have the words of life in our laps. And so we need to say like Peter, where are we going? You have the words of life. You've given them to us in the pages of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. Let me read. I think it was Job who said, thy words were found and I did eat them. Or was it Jeremiah? One of the two. And then there's another passage which says, I have esteemed thy word more than my necessary food. Now, I love to eat like anyone else. I like to tease Adventists. I don't think anyone on earth loves to eat like Adventists. Which is okay. God made us with mouths. He made us with appetites. Appetite is one of the lower passions. God made us with lower passions. Appetite is the lower passion to be controlled by the higher passions or the higher powers. Like the mind and the will should control the lower. We made with lower passions. Sexual urges are lower passions to be controlled by this. There's nothing wrong with the lower passion. But the devil appealed to Adam's lower passion and he fell. So eating is one of the lower passions which God gave us at creation. And so I have nothing, I'm not ashamed to say I love to eat. But we should not eat to live. Or we should not live to eat. The love we have for physical food must be multiplied when it comes to our love for spiritual food. For therein lies our spiritual growth. Therein lies the avenue to Christ-likeness, a constant taking in of spiritual food, the Word of God. That is why Jesus says, if you don't eat it and drink it, you have no life. Let me ask you again. Don't answer me. Don't raise your hands. How many of us today have eternal life? It is fascinating to me that people who cannot die still have to eat. In the new world, we must eat. What is this stress that God puts on eating? Why can't we just live in heaven and just live? No eating, just breathe life. No, you have to eat. Well, God takes that and he applies it today to our spiritual lives. We must view study of the Bible as greater importance than our physical eating. We eat breakfast, we eat lunch, we eat dinner, then we have a snack. Or we may eat breakfast and lunch, or we may eat just whatever it is, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 times a day, we eat many times a week. Do we study the Bible as often as we eat physically? Don't answer me. Do we study it with as much relish? If you had a choice between eating and studying something fascinating in Scripture, where would you go? You know, there's some people, when they're working on projects at work, they don't eat. I know some people, something they're doing, maybe you're working on an experiment and you're about to get results, and people say, let's go eat. Nah, forget food. I'm sure you've met people like that or you've heard. You worked on a PhD in biochemistry and one of your experiments is about to work out. And you've been at this thing all night for days and weeks and months and someone says, let's go to lunch. No, 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 forget lunch. I've got to make sure this experiment works. You forget food. There are people who forget food to play the stock market. You're about to eat and you see a young lady you've wanted to attract her eye for months. Forget food. You've gone after her. Jesus says, look, I want you to have the same attitude towards the Bible. Here's a Bible study, and here's the playoffs. Washington Redskins playing whomever. Which one do you pick? Is it a no-brainer? The Washington Redskins. God's Word. Am I getting my point across? Say amen if I am. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. Now, I can get up here and preach a sermon that makes you feel good. But what's the benefit of that? If you go out and I know you don't have eternal life. Before we leave today, I want every person who made a commitment this morning to study God's Word. Now that you've made the connection between eternal life and God's Word, you can't break it. It is the bread, life, and right in between is what? Eating. So when Peter said, thou hast the words of life, hear the words, here's the life in the Word. What makes the life work for me? The eating of the Word. And how do I eat God's Word? I study it. I don't just read it. You didn't sit downstairs swallowing food. You chewed it. Then you swallowed it. And the enjoyment of food is in the chewing, not the swallowing. Because if it were just a swallowing, you can get a pill that has the same thing. Just swallow it and you finish with your dinner in 5 minutes. But no, we want to enjoy eating as an aesthetic experience. Smell the spice, whatever. And smell this. Smell that. And feel the texture of the fried chicken under your tongue. God says, do the same thing with my word. Eat it. Eat it. And then swallow it. Study of God's word. Because God's word is the means by which he preserves and communicates to us and mediates to us eternal life. That life is in God's word. And I have a sacred responsibility, I hope I have carried it out fairly well, to make that point clear to my brothers and sisters at Blythedale. You don't go to heaven because you're a Seventh-day Adventist. You have no advantage really, but let me say that carefully. Yeah, God's people do have an advantage in that they have increased light, but it also increases your responsibility. You are saved because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And a genuine relationship with Christ does not remain at the same level. There are some people who have followed Christ for 40 years and they really haven't changed. And God expects change to happen fairly quickly. Now, why do I say that? If you read the exchange between Jesus Christ and Philip in John chapter 14, in verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. What does Jesus say in verse 9? Have I been so what? Long time. Now, how long was that? 3.5 years. That's all. Now, some of us have been with Jesus 40 years. We still don't know him. Jesus says to Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Christ was saying, Philip, in the 3.5 years you've known me, you should have been far more advanced than having to ask me this elementary question, show us the Father. Don't you understand that when you see me, you see the Father? You should know it by now. 3.5 years. I'm sure some of you have been with Christ 25 years. You've been in the church 50, all your life. Does Jesus have to say to you and to me, have I been so long time with you, Elder Skeet, and you still don't understand the sanctuary and the relationship it has to salvation? Have I been so long time with you, sister, whomever, and you don't understand the connection between the Sabbath and salvation? Have I been so long time with you, and you still don't see the connection between healthful living and understanding spiritual things? Have I been so long with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the gospel has still not gone to all the world? Have I been so long time with you, and we still have white churches, blue churches, green churches, and pink churches? How much longer do I have to be with you for you to get it, says Jesus? What I'm saying to you is, the fastest and only way to get it is to study God's Word. Jesus says, eat it, because when we eat, you see, I'm no scientist, so I've just heard what I'm about to tell you and read it in books. When you eat, the thing you eat goes into the stomach. The stomach begins to what? Digest it. They tell me the digestion begins in the mouth where the starch is broken down to something, and it goes into the stomach, and there's some process that takes place. The acids are secreted by the stomach, and it goes to the small intestine where fats and whatever else, and so there's a process, and then eventually the body extracts what is good, and it passes through the walls of the lining of the intestine into the bloodstream. The blood takes it to all the cells. Now, that's how we must eat God's Word. Take it into our minds, and the mind does its work, and the benefits of God's Word affects our entire system. And we become spiritual beings. You see, we are what we eat. Do you believe that? Ellen White says that. You are what you eat, whether what you eat is physical, finish it for me, or what you eat is spiritual. Now, what do you want to be? If you and I are what we eat, physical and spiritual, what do we want to be? What we eat makes us who we are to a large degree. I offer to you today the Word of Jesus Christ. Except you eat it, ye have no life. You must leave this church today with eternal life. It's not something to be casual about. We're talking about life and death literally in this life and at the time of the judgment, when the wicked are destroyed and the saved go to heaven. It's a matter of life and death at the physical level and the spiritual level. And I want you to leave the church with the assurance in your heart that you have eternal life. We give ourselves to Christ and we renew the commitment we made this morning. Father, by your grace and my decision of my will, God can't decide for you. I will make your word my chief diet. And I will not eat physical food if I do not also eat spiritual food. I will not be a person who eats more physical food than I consume spiritual food. For the life of Christ does not come by physical food. It comes by spiritual food. It reminds me, I don't mean to preach two sermons, but it reminds me of what God said to Samuel. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh where? On the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. But most of the money we spend on the outside. So we can look good. Where does God look? On the inside. And we spend no money on the inside. But we spend on the outside, whether it's clothes, or house, or cars, in so many ways, we beautify the outside, and that is precisely where God does not look. And that which gives us life, the Word of God, we spend little time. That which saps our life, the world, we spend our time. I don't want you to think I'm angry with you. I am not. I am just concerned. I want you saved. Do you realize that if we are faithful to God, one day I'll see you in heaven? And this is not pie in the sky. I'm speaking very literally. I will see you in heaven and you will see me. Now, I don't know how far our memories will be erased because the former things shall not come to mind, but there may be some things we'll recall, and perhaps you'll remember, and I will, when we fellowship like this. You will remember it was from this point that you decided to make the Word of God your chief source of nutrition. And we'll all be in heaven, or this new earth, saved, safe, no more sickness, no more pain, no divisions, no conflict, living in harmony, carrying out God's will, looking at Jesus in His face, communicating with the Father face to face, always seeing the angel that keeps us on the highways from day to day. I cannot afford to miss that. And so I will keep my nose at the plate of spiritual food. How many of you will say, Lord, I want to be sure I have eternal life. Let me see your hands. I want to be sure. Raise your hands. How many of you believe that you can leave this church this afternoon with eternal life? You can leave with eternal life today. Let me see your hands. You believe that? Yes, you can. You can. We don't need any doubt in this church this afternoon. No doubt. Doubt interferes with the work of the gospel. You read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, where the writer of Hebrews says, the gospel preached unto us was preached unto them, referring to the wilderness people. But the word preached to them did not benefit them. Why? It was not mixed with faith. You have to believe that God can give you eternal life in an instant, and He can preserve it through the Word of God. He can give it, then He can preserve it. God creates, then He sustains. We must see that connection. God created the heavens and the earth, and He sustains them. He gives eternal life, and He preserves it. Now, in the time of William Miller and Ellen White and those pioneers, there was a belief called deism. The belief was, God made the earth and left it alone. No, it doesn't work like that. God made it, and He sustains it, He preserves it, and He keeps it. He gives you eternal life in an instant. Lord, save me, you've got it. Then He says, now, here's what to do so I can preserve it. The Word. I'm a citizen of the United States, but I can have that revoked by my behavior. If a U.S.-born citizen does certain things, that citizenship can be lost. I understand. So there's one thing to get it. There's another thing to preserve it. So today we shall renew this commitment to Christ. Lord, my life is yours. Give me the life of Christ. And then give me the heart to stand by my morning commitment to study this word, for it is in God's word that that life is preserved. Preserved. Maintained. Sustained. How many of you want eternal life again? Let me see your hands. Stand, let me pray for you. And this is very serious. Stand, let me pray for you. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If anyone wants to come right here now. If you want to come right with me, you can come. I'll wait for you. Sister, God bless you. You want to come right here. Anyone else, you come right here. Let me pray. But I'm praying for everyone who stood. God bless you, sister. Come. I saw your hand for baptism this morning, I believe. God bless you, sister. God bless you. I don't want you to see this as regular church service. You must see this as very serious. Come, my good brother. You came for healing prayer this morning. I saw you. Come. Stand right here. God bless you. Hold on to the pew. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we come into your presence seeking what Christ died to give. That is eternal life. Lord, as we bow in your presence, in head and in heart, we ask you, Father, and I believe I'm praying for everyone in this building. First, forgive our sins. Cleanse our hearts, dear God. Because eternal life does not dwell where there's persistent sin. Cleanse our hearts. And in the name of Jesus Christ, who has all power in heaven and earth, as he tells us in Matthew 28, verse 18, grant to us the life of Christ. Right now. As Peter prayed when he was sinking, Lord, save me. And the Bible says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and saved him. Father, we ask you now in the name of Jesus, save us. Just as immediately, dear God, because you are no respecter of persons, stretch forth your hand and save us. We ask in the name of Jesus, and we believe you have done it. We're not waiting to feel, we're just accepting your word, because it's the word that has life, not feelings. Now, Lord, help us to renew in our hearts the commitments we made. This life we just received, or had it renewed, must be maintained by taking in your word as we take in food. And so, Father, I thank you for the words of Christ in John chapter 6, verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life. Father, we want the life. And as Peter said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Father, we've come and we've committed ourselves to study your word every day. I mean, Father, to chew it, not just read it and run to bed, to study it, to read it, to think about it, and to pray to you for revelation. Hear this prayer, dear God. We all want to be saved. We do not want to be lost. So grant your spirit to everyone bowing in your presence. Grant us your spirit. And as we study your word, open our eyes and transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We offer this prayer with thanksgiving and humility. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Let everyone say with me, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.